Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
I was waiting for the lady to talk, but she didn't talk. Good. Oh, she did talk.
That's I was right. talking well, over her to you.
You were. Hey, Cyrus.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, we're doing a show over here. Awesome. The number to call in and be on the air is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Lots of emails to get to, and when you start calling in, I'll be getting to your phone calls as well. A few things in the news I want to share with you. I don't know, make of this what you will. It seems like it's sort of to be expected. Over 200 House Democrats voted Wednesday against condemning the slew of attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers that have occurred since the leak of the draft opinion. Remember that back before the overturning of Roe versus Wade, when somebody in the Supreme Court complex of staffers leaked this opinion? It didn't have any effect to derail the subsequent opinion, but somebody was trying to do that, obviously. So there have been many attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers since then. So 200 House Democrats had an opportunity to condemn these attacks, and they refrained from doing so. At least 78 pro-life groups and 108 churches have been attacked since May, according to trackers who follow this. Vandals have often tagged these buildings with threats such as, quote, if abortions aren't safe, neither are you. Kind of sounds fascistic, doesn't it? Yet as of Wednesday, authorities had not arrested anyone in connection with these incidents. Democrats like New York Republican, New York Representative, woo! That doesn't get a double woo-woo. That just gets a woo. Democrats like New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have been loath to condemn or even acknowledge these attacks. This week, Democratic leadership urged lawmakers to vote no on H-Con Res 3, defending their stance by noting that the resolution does not discuss attacks on pro-abortion groups. Democratic Whip Catherine Clark said assaults on abortion clinics increased 128%. Last year over 2020, citing numbers from the National Abortion Federation. Planned Parenthood's action arm similarly claimed that the resolution ignores, quote, threats of violence against abortion providers and patients. The Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division has refused to share whether it is prosecuting any of these cases under the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, which prohibits the threats of force, obstruction, and property damage intended to interfere with reproductive health care. If I had to guess, by the way, I would say the reason that they allegedly anyway are refusing to provide any information is because there probably isn't any. Because if they, I'm guessing here, speculation, if they were to reveal the actual number of alleged attacks, there probably would be few, if any. And that, of course, would undercut the wild-eyed claims of some of these people who are promoting abortion. You can read the whole article for yourself, but it's an example of what we're dealing with here in this country, where the political parties are so entrenched, and in this case, the Democrats, that they can't even bring themselves to vote against or to condemn wanton violence and destruction of property and putting people's lives in danger, because those are the right people you want to have in danger. Those are the kind of people that you really don't mind being in danger or their property being in danger. At least that's how it reads to me. Now, there's another article, this one in Axios, that covers the same information, but provides a few additional details that would be worth looking at. So, for example, the main difference between the 2002 law, which is the Born Alive Infants Protection Act, enacted in 2002, says that any child born at any stage of development, including potentially after an abortion, should be considered a person and a human being. These are the words taken from the document itself, and thus entitled to the same legal protections that you and I enjoy. The measure, which passed 220 to 210, and you could probably guess who the 220 were. They were Republicans, and 210 were Democrats. Representative Henry Cuellar, the only House Democrat who does not support abortion rights, voted in support of the bill. Good for him. Awesome. The main difference between the 2002 law and the most current one, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, is that the latter establishes penalties for healthcare providers who do not act to preserve the life and health of the child. Providers could face up to 5 years in prison under the new bill, in addition, if they are found to have intentionally killed or attempted to kill a child, they could be found guilty of murder. And just to go back, 210 lawmakers couldn't support that. They couldn't bring themselves to support punishing a physician, for example, who, after a botched abortion and the baby is born alive, intentionally kills the child. They couldn't bring themselves to condemn that. So, as the old saying goes, elections have consequences, especially for the lives of unborn children. And we also see this playing out in so many other ways. But I didn't want to let that go unnoticed. I want you to be aware of that. And as with all of the articles that I share on the program, those are going to be posted. In fact, I can see Cyrus posting them right now on Twitter. At P Madrid Show is the Twitter handle. If you're on Twitter, follow us. Follow the show at P Madrid Show and follow me at Patrick Madrid. And that's where you'll find me on social media if you want to interact and such. That's typically where I do that. Also, if you, for whatever reason, would prefer to go to the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick, the Twitter feed is embedded there, so you'll be able to see it. And it's, I'm just going to open the page here. It is in the lower right-hand corner. There it is, the lower right-hand corner. So you'll see that if you want to look at it. And this is true for all the articles. Politico, which is a far left-wing publication, far, far, far left-wing. Of course, even nowadays, it's hard to see where the edge is of the far left. In any case, there was a cybersecurity reporter who, let's just say he left his employment. It's hard to know whether Politico fired him or they gave him a graceful exit, but he, on Twitter, he blasted Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. Upon the news of the Pope Emeritus's death, he wrote on Twitter, "Homophobic pedophile protector and Hitler Youth alumnus dead at 95, while sharing a link to the news report on Pope Benedict's death on December 31st. And then subsequently, he took down the tweet and he wrote, "I deleted the tweet about Pope Benedict that was offensive and in poor judgment." I would agree with him on that assessment. Politico's vice president of marketing and communications weighed in after the outrage began on social media. Mary Margaret Olihan, a senior reporter for the Heritage Foundation's Daily Signal, she responded to the tweet saying, "Political, come get your reporter." So I was happy to see, I don't wish any ill on anybody, and I don't want to see someone lose a job unnecessarily, but this rose to a level of meanness, especially in the hours immediately after Pope Benedict's death. And I thought, as long as I'm at it, if you want to read that article, it's up there too. This stuff about Pope Benedict when he was a little kid being in Hitler Youth, the Hitler Youth program. Well, that is true. But if you read the biographies of him, you read his own statements on the topic, he was a little kid in the middle of World War II. So Hitler had risen to power. And as you know from watching movies or reading books, you know that Hitler was extremely repressive. And he forced everybody into the new mold for the German nation. And this included mobilizing children, whether they wanted to be involved or not. And he did not want to be involved, but he was forced into something that he didn't want to do. "Hey, everybody, we're going to have a Hitler Youth meeting every Wednesday afternoon. After you've done your chores, we're going to have this meeting. You have to wear this outfit, kind of looks like a Boy Scout uniform, and you have to be there because if you're not, we'll shoot your parents. That kind of thing. So when you see these comments about how Pope Francis was a member of the Hitler Youth, don't fall for the obvious ploy, which is to make you think that he was into it, that he was digging it, that he was like, yeah, I want to join the Hitler Youth. It was exactly the opposite. He wanted nothing to do with it. He wanted to stay far away from it because he knew it was evil. His father knew it was evil. I mean, his whole family did. His father, too, was conscripted into the army. And I need to go back and reread the details. Maybe he was already in the military, but at the very least, he did everything he could to get out of it. So that's another historical detail that's worth being aware of. Speaking of historical details, there is a book that will be released mid-month this month, and it's by Archbishop George Ganschwein. He is, you probably have heard that name before. He is the archbishop who, originally a priest, German priest, and personal secretary of Pope Benedict. I think this was even before he was elected to the papacy in 2005. And he is releasing a book about what it was like to take care of Pope Benedict, what it was like to be his personal secretary. And this is long before Pope Benedict resigned. So it's a memoir of sorts, but it gets into a lot of the vexing questions about, well, what was the real relationship between Pope Benedict XVI in retirement after abdication and his successor, Pope Francis? And this is going to be a book that will draw a lot of attention because, at least according to the press reports that I've been reading in the last couple of days, he purports to reveal some very, I would say, very explosive details, such as, one thing is he says that it broke or pained, depending upon the translation that you follow, Pope Benedict's heart when Pope Francis reversed his decision to make the traditional Latin Mass as widely available as possible. That's something that we've talked about on the program before. It was a motu proprio. Motu proprio is a Latin phrase that we would roughly translate into English as by on his own authority or by his own volition. The Pope mandates a certain thing. And the earlier document, the earlier motu proprio, was known as Summorum Pontificum. You can read it online. It's available. And in it, Pope Benedict XVI, he announced that he wanted a broad and generous application of the traditional Latin Mass, make it available, he said to the bishops. It can be a parish Mass. If people, you know, under certain circumstances request it at the parish, the pastor should do everything he could to add a traditional Latin Mass to the series of Masses on Sunday. He pointed out that there's no competition, or there should not be perceived as any competition between the traditional Latin Mass and the new rite of the Mass from Vatican II. It was a very warmly welcomed document in certain quarters of the church and a harshly rejected document in other quarters of the church. And yet he, as Pope, had the authority to say, this is what I want done. And it was done for a time, somewhat half-heartedly by some, but it was done, and it expressed not only his will, but also his theological mind and his recognition that the traditional Latin Mass is not something to be feared, it's not something to worry about, and all of the above. You can read it for yourself and make your own judgments. So when Pope Francis, he in essence reversed this with his motu proprio, Traditiones Custodes, which means defenders, or rather custodians, or guardians even, of tradition. He reversed everything that Pope Benedict had promulgated in his and went entirely in the other direction. So the reason I mention this in passing is because this is one of the things that Archbishop Ganschwein has written about in his book, saying that Pope Benedict's heart was broken when this took place. And there's quite a bit more. I mean, it's not just that one thing. There's a lot in there, and some intrigue, and, you know, with anything else, you have to recognize that there are always two sides to a story, and people have different perspectives on things. But when that book hits, I'm sure it's going to be the subject of a great deal of commentary and controversy. We'll see what happens. I haven't read it yet. Obviously, it's not available, but if I find something there that is something to chat about with you, I will certainly let you know about that. 888-914-9149. Cyrus, you and I talk about this from time to time. some more people died suddenly in the last few days. This one to me is really troubling as a father and a grandfather. A five-year-old girl in Huron, Ohio, she passed away suddenly this last Sunday, and she was attending the school. Counselors were made available to the students and staff to help the children dealing with processing what happened. But the thing that I take note of, Cyrus, I'm curious what you think, but her cause of death has not been released. And normally, at least in my experience, when a child is ill, especially a child of that age, 5 years old, ill, you know, or has died suddenly, which is very uncommon in any case for children that age, you know, almost always you know exactly what the problem was. It was leukemia, or it was some other childhood disease, or it was an accident, or you know, anything like that. And routinely, because people want to know, five-year-olds don't die suddenly like that. And yet, for some strange reason, this poor child, may she rest in peace, they just haven't released their cause of death for her, and I wonder why. Any theories, Cyrus? Any theories why they don't release the cause of death?
There might be some big money behind not releasing the cause of death. I could see that. It could be a big coincidence.
True. It could be just that.
A lot of coincidences seem to be happening every single day, more and more, and they seem to be young people having these coincidences.
You mean dying suddenly?
Yeah, dying suddenly.
Now that you mention it, here's another example of that. This is an offensive lineman for the Air Force Academy football team, Hunter Brown. He left his dormitory to go to class, and he died suddenly on the walk from his dormitory to his class. The Air Force Academy's football team is an NCAA Division I school. He died suddenly, and they haven't released the cause of death. That's odd.
Over and over. But we keep hearing things about, well, maybe the climate change killed him.
Well, that's true.
Or maybe it's, have you heard the gas stoves are really dangerous now?
I've heard
of that.
Maybe
it's because he had a gas stove.
Because, you know, in the military academies, they cook all their own food in the...
That's right.
In their rooms.
You know, maybe he was hit on the chest. You know,
that's true. They might have been practicing during the walk from the dorm to the classroom.
I'm not trying to be flippant, and I'm definitely not making light of these young people dying. This is awful, but
tragic.
There's nothing on the for-profit news about this. Nothing. I can't find anything about it.
I wonder why not.
Yet it's happening everywhere.
And it's now becoming. Let me put it this way. It's kind of pointless because every morning, as you and I are going through the news during show prep time and just kind of seeing what's going on out there, every single day, more and more and more and more. It's no longer even shocking. It is shocking, obviously, and we pray for the repose of the souls of those who died, including this young man who died at the Air Force Academy. But there's something not right here, obviously. The only problem is that people who have been speaking up about this for a long time, they get shouted down or worse. And there are people who have been speaking up about this for a long time because they dare to say, is it possible that these forced vaccinations have anything to do with it? Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is unthinkable and intolerable. In fact, when we touch upon this topic here, I get the angry emails.
It makes people angry. I get scared. There's people I love dearly that are young and vaccinated. I'm terrified.
Yeah.
I'm looking at something from, it's a Vancouver, I'm sorry, a Virginia pediatric office. And this is, they have this in their window right at their front desk. It says, student athletes, sports physicals are done primarily to make sure you are not at high risk for sudden cardiac death on the playing field.
COVID. Start over. What will not happen anymore?
So this is a notice that's on their on their window, right before you talk to the receptionist.
Okay.
Sports physicals are done primarily to make sure you are not at high risk for sudden cardiac death on the playing field. This is highlighted here. COVID vaccination affects your risk. In response to worldwide experience in vaccine adverse event monitoring, we are adopting a more precautionary sports physical sign-off policy. If you have received doses of any COVID shot, We will not be able to clear you to compete in sports without performing lab work and possibly an echocardiogram mm-hmm. to rule out potential heart damage.
Oh, my.
Well, at least they're taking some precautionary steps here. And
I'm surprised that the school district hasn't shut them down and fired whoever posted that. For even saying it publicly, that's what I find so troubling is that I think so many. Well, maybe if you still have the "Brought to You by Pfizer" montage, maybe we could play that.
Then here's one from ABC News.
Yeah,
rise in heart disease may be explained by extreme weather conditions. Thanks, ABC News. That must be it.
So the 5-year-old girl who died in Huron, Ohio, suddenly, as I read the article, it appears that she perhaps was in school. That's what it looks like. She just died suddenly. That was caused by climate change.
That's extreme weather conditions.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It's not clear why temperature shifts correlated with more heart attacks because they didn't, ABC News.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's I think it's reaching the breaking point, and as I've mentioned before, I don't want to give you the impression that I've been, you know, talking about this for any great length of time. Every so often it might pop up and we might mention it in passing, but other people have been doing a lot of work and suffering the consequences for it and raising their voices and things. And I don't want to not acknowledge them, but I think it's reaching the point now with all of these continuous stories every morning, not a day goes by now that some new group of people, and these are just the ones that are being reported, you know, the athletes, the 5-year-old girls in kindergarten.
That's right, cadets. Patrick. What's not being reported are the older people, the people that are over 70, 80 mm. years old, 90 years old living in the retirement centers. Those yeah. deaths aren't being reported because they're, you know, they're old, and it's just something that happens when it's a way.
Well, let me
lot
play
of us,
devil's advocate. Okay. I don't doubt what you're saying, but how then would you know about them if they're not being reported?
Right. So there is a doctor. we're getting into.
You're heading down a trail here, aren't
it
you?
It is. It's a dangerous trail, but it needs to be talked about, and it's certainly not being talked about anywhere else.
So in other words, there is someone. I don't know who this is, but someone in the medical profession who has the, I guess, credentials, is keeping a running tally of all of the older people who are suddenly dying?
Not necessarily like that. So fair enough, I don't have these stats in front of me. But it was a comment made by, I think his name's Dr. Peter McCullough. Okay. I think.
Okay.
I might be mispronouncing his name. But he had warned about... He had warned about this during the vaccine trial period, however long that was, mm-hmm. and he was immediately banned from YouTube and Twitter, and he was on that big Spotify program. What's that guy called? Blow Gogan or something? I can't remember.
Oh, something like that.
Something like that. He was on there, and that caused a big controversy.
Mo Jogan?
That's it, Mo Jogan.
I've heard of somebody like that.
Yeah, and so he was on there, and everyone got real mad because he's talking about things that were being suppressed, and lo and behold, everything he talked about, maybe not everything, I talk in generalities a lot, but many of the things he had warned are coming to fruition now, and ivermectin being a treatment for COVID.
You just stepped
is one
on a high voltage wire. Right
I know,
there.
I really did, and it's it's really too bad.
I can just picture the people sitting down to write an angry email.
It was nice talking with you every day, Patrick.
It's been a good run.
I really liked it, man. I'll miss you a lot.
You did well.
Thanks, man.
Now, as Charlton Heston said in Tombstone, if they want you, they got to come over me. So we have to take a break. We're overdue. I just, though, want to put this out there that regardless of your political leanings, regardless of your attitude for or against vaccines, anything like that, at the very least, just be willing to take a look at what we're seeing. And then you make sense of it, and you tell me what you think might be a common link among all these people who are suddenly dying. This little five-year-old girl can't imagine the grief of her family. Died suddenly. And they just won't, for some reason, release the cause of death. I find that odd. We're going to take a break, and I'll be right back.
Compellingly inclusive and fully woke. Diverse and unpredictable conversations. Equality for your day. Your non-triggering, non-toxic ally. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Pfizer. CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference, brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer. Early Start, brought to you by Pfizer. Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front. Brought to you by Pfizer. This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This weather report brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press Data Download brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning sponsored by Pfizer.
You know, I'm sensing a pattern here. I'm just trying to understand exactly what the pattern is. One thing that comes to mind, the number to call to be on the program, 888-914-9149. One thing that comes to mind is it not possible that maybe people's perception of things like this, you know, like the COVID vaccine, it's not a vaccine, my friend is saying to me, as he always does. Whatever the term is you prefer, gene therapy, jab, whatever. Is it possible that with that kind of continuous money flow from one of the principal players, of course, Pfizer, could just as easily have been Moderna or one of the other ones, lots and lots of money paid to networks and programs by way of advertising dollars, you'd think, at least I think, that there would be some reciprocity, some quid pro quo, that if we're going to spend money on your network to advertise, you know, we would expect, you know, we scratch your back, you scratch ours. We would expect you to at least be friendly to our perspective on this issue. And so the question I'm asking, it's a rhetorical question, and I think I know the answer, but is it possible that people all around the country could continuously have a steady diet of all these different media outlets every day, 24/7, brought to you by Pfizer, and not have their attitude shaped subtly so that if somebody is asking inconvenient questions like, well, why are five-year-old little girls dying suddenly? Why is that happening? And why won't they say what the cause of death is, etc.? I wonder perhaps if that's where some of this anger comes from.
Inconceivable!
When people do ask that inconvenient question, if your attitude has been shaped steadily for the better part of 2 years now, maybe longer, it just seems to me that there's something to that. I don't know, but that's what it looks like. 888-914-9149. This is a full service program. You're more than welcome to call on any topic. I just wanted to get that off my chest just there. 888-914-9149. Let's go to... let's go to Robert in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Robert.
Hello there, Mr. Madrid. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
So I just want to let you know I'm a practicing Catholic. I'm an avid listener to your program.
Thank you.
I really support what you do. However, I'm extremely troubled and disappointed by the gist of your recent conversation to speculate that a series of unexplained deaths is somehow linked or caused by COVID vaccines is...
Why would that disappoint you? I mean, I don't mind if you're disappointed in me, but hopefully it would be for a good reason. Why would that disappoint you?
I understand. So as a paramedic and as a veterinarian with a public health background, to speculate that a series of vaccines, which is breakthrough technology, which has been scientifically proven, the research, the data is out there and it's rock solid, that these vaccines have saved lives, millions of lives. And so to speculate and to promote vaccine hesitancy, you're a trusted authority in this thing, right? And it's disappointing when you speculate without any, you know, evidence, any basis in fact, that these vaccines could be causing these specific unexplained deaths.
Well, first of all, thank you for being a regular listener to the show. I hope that continues. I think your disappointment is misplaced, Robert. And if anything, I'm disappointed in you as a medical professional for being unwilling to consider that maybe there's more to the story than you've been led to believe. I always assumed that science and scientists were about testing theories and looking for correlations and trying to find the truth regardless of where it may lead. And what you're saying, and you're telling me how disappointed you are in me, makes me wonder where did all the objectivity go? Why is it that people like you are simply unwilling to tolerate a question? I'm just asking a question. Why are all these young people dying suddenly? And why is it that so often, as in the case of the little girl, this is just one example, they won't release the cause of death? Why is that? And why is it disappointing to you that I should ask the question, what's going on here? Why would that disappoint
you? Because you ask an open-ended question with the innuendo that these vaccines are causing the problem.
And here's the question. This is the $64,000 question if you ask me, Robert. What is the common thread among all of these young people suddenly dying? What is the common thread? I don't purport to know for sure, but there's nothing disappointing or wrong with asking, is it possible that it could be the vaccine? That's a reasonable question.
Okay. So I'll let you speak. Let me speak now, please. So respectfully, then, I think it's a great question to ask. But then I think you need subject matter experts on both sides of the debate to actually find those answers and actually discuss those potential answers and theories on your program.
One of the problems, Robert, is that when somebody, my show doesn't do interviews. You're my guest right now. I don't have guests and I don't do interviews. But there are other shows that do that. But here's a problem I have with that. I agree with you. I think that would be the best way to go about doing it. But every single time, it seems, somebody who has a contrary view gets censored. They get deplatformed from social media. They get shut down. They get silenced. And it leads to, I think, a reasonable question, and that is, if it's so clearly scientifically provable that there is no connection between these vaccines and five-year-old children dying suddenly in kindergarten and other people who are young dying suddenly, well, then why not just stomp on these outliers who are claiming otherwise with all the science? Why is it that they get silenced and deplatformed and their information cannot be evaluated? That's another very troubling feature of this bigger picture, if you ask me.
It should be evaluated. The problem is the research, and this is the way medicine, this is the way medical research works, the data is not out there yet to prove one way or the other. However, we all know people without a
medical
background.
What do you mean it's not out there? We've had endless data dumps of scientific findings in peer-reviewed journals. I mean, I don't see how you can say there's no data out there. We've been swimming in data up to our scalps for the last 2 years. The efficacy of vaccines, all the things that go into this.
Yeah, absolutely. And that data and the research that is out there indicates that in the vast majority of circumstances, the vaccines are safe and efficacious.
I'm not arguing that they're not
out there. What I was referring to was the specific data on those individuals that you're actually talking about. That's what I was talking about.
Fair enough.
I'll let you get on. I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on this one, good sir. I wish you all
well,
the best.
Well, I do appreciate. I do appreciate you taking time to call. I hope you'll call again. And we're still friends. No harm done. You know, we're looking at this in two different perspectives, but that's okay because hopefully we can all triangulate on this and eventually figure out what's going on. That's all I'm looking for.
Okay. Have a good day.
Thanks, Robert. Thank you. 888-914-9149. As I just want to underscore, I'm more than happy to talk about anything. This is not like the topic of the day. So don't feel like you can't call in with your question about the Eucharist, for example. Let's go to Jennifer now in Chicago. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. You know, it's funny because right before that caller prior had called in, I was listening to you. I don't usually get to hear you at this time of the day, but I happened to be off today, and I did. And I was feeling so proud to hear you asking questions because I'm so proud of Relevant Radio for being a source of information to me that is well-rounded. It is, like you're saying, it's good to ask these questions. It's good to hear all the viewpoints. And I feel like over the years, I've heard stuff from this station that 2 years later or so, I'll hear on mainstream media. And I love the fact that you are asking these questions. Personally, I am on the same page. I have questions about this. I don't think these things are right. And, you know, when we talk about the data, there is data. The silencing is creating a lack of data for the public. And so all the people who are, you know, pro-vax are able to say, look, we have all this data. But the problem is that all the data that's out there that's showing it's not okay, things are a problem. This is not, things have not been done in the normal way. All of these issues are being silenced so that there's no public knowledge of the real data out there that shows that there is a concern.
Yeah. You know, as you're speaking, and first of all, thank you for that, Jennifer. I'm just imagining the gentleman I just talked to a second ago thinking, probably shaking his head. Well, he kept interrupting me, but he's letting her speak without interruption. And I recognize that. Well, anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. I'm wondering, Jennifer, why is it that the people who have these contradictory views and they have other sets of data and they're raising an alarm saying there is a problem here? I ask you the same question I asked the earlier caller, and that is, if the science and the data that would show that these vaccines are not in some way related to all of these young people who are suddenly dying, why not just simply destroy these pseudoscience arguments, because that's what they would be, I guess. Why not just destroy it publicly once and for all so everybody can see that that's just nonsense? Then we can all be on the same page. But rather than do that, it's hidden from view, it's silenced, it's deplatformed. That's what I find very troubling. And if that weren't happening, in a way, this would almost be a non-issue. But because there's such an effort to conceal or prevent people from even hearing that side of the thing, that's what I find doubly troubling. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I do think that the core of this problem is revolving around truth and fear. I feel that, fear is good. It is designed to alert us that something's wrong. But we shouldn't live in fear, right? We should have faith. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of this misinformation that's gone out there has been creating fear. And because everyone's been afraid, we've all been reacting in fear and not reacting in faith, not reacting with our intellect. So a lot of people have made choices that now I think they're afraid to face what's going on. I think that the truth has been hidden. And I think that I used to try to explain to my kids, and I hope I do this right. I used to say, you know, if I were to say to you, let's say like the sky is, or the sun is purple. Mm-hmm. And, if you look at me and you say, the sun's not purple, I mean, mm-hmm. You'd kind of be like, oh, whatever, that person's crazy. Forget it, you know. But if I said the sun is purple and you believed me, you'd be like, oh, my gosh, and you'd change your life revolving around that new truth I introduced to you. But if I say the sun is purple and you know it's the truth, but you're scared of it, you're going to attack me. So either you're going to blow me off if my truth is not a threat to you, you're going to either follow what I say, if my truth, if you believe my truth, and it's not the truth, obviously, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But if there's some part of you that recognizes there's truth to it, but you don't want to recognize it, that's when you get angry and respond in such ways. And I believe that that's why, if that makes any sense. It does. It makes sense.
I have to take a break in a moment.
Okay. But I feel like that's why they're silencing. I think that's why they're shutting people down, because people who are on the target are being silenced.
That's for sure. I agree with you on that for sure, Jennifer. Thank you. And thank you. I know you're busy. Thank you for taking a moment to call in today. I appreciate that. Look forward to the next opportunity. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help with this year's health insurance open enrollment. They offer individual, couple, and family options to best fit your needs. Before January 15th, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com. Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now.
Let's get back to the phones. Thanks for listening. 888-914-9149 is the number to call to be on the program. Let's get over to Norman now in Philadelphia. Hi, Norman.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. I hope all is well with everyone.
Thank you. Same to you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate you. I just started listening to you about 4 months now, and I'm learning so much. And, man, I'm glad you have the intelligence that God gave you to help us all. I'm sure a lot of people out there appreciate it, too.
Thank you, Norman.
You're welcome.
Blessed
my question is, yes, all the time, is say one of my children get married in man's eyes, you know, how they go to the city and get married just to have the benefits and all that stuff.
Okay.
But they're not married in God's eyes, and I don't feel they were married in God's eyes. Can I still go to that wedding, or am I still condoning the sinful marriage? Because they're not married in God's eyes, as I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, so in other words, there would be something in this scenario, there would be something preventing that from being a valid marriage. So, like, your
Catholic
child... Yeah,
because they're
not
saying, by the power of God, I now pronounce you man and wife, the traditional way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, can you still go and support it? I guess the question every father or mother has to ask themselves is, what am I supporting here if I know that this would be an invalid marriage? How can I support that? Because love, you know, as you know, Norman, true love means desiring the good of the other person. And so since this would be something that's objectively bad for your child, I find it hard to imagine how you could, not you personally, but whoever, to say, well, I'm going to go and support them. Because the question is, well, what am I supporting? If I know this is something bad for my child, how can I support that? And it's such a terrible situation for any family member to be in, much less the parents, because they do love their children and they want nothing more than to support them and be happy for them and share their happiness. But when the child is doing something that's wrong and destructive and harmful, you know, at a spiritual level, the hard thing is to say, I would love to be there for you, but I can't, because my presence would send the impression that I approve of what you're doing, and I don't. And it breaks my heart, because I love you.
Right.
That seems to me the predicament.
Right. Well, I was just thinking when the Pharisees and the Sadducees say, look, he sits with sinners and all that stuff. Why is he sitting with sinners? Like, because they're the ones that need the love and the forgiveness, and they lost their way. I'm here to show them the way, the truth, and the life. You know what I mean? That's what I'm...
Yeah.
None of them are married yet. I was just wondering if it so happens. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I think of. Like, God sits with the sinners to try to change them. And that's
yeah, I've heard that. Them. Oh, believe me, I've heard that very rationale before many times. I have pondered it myself many times, and I see the point you're making. I really do. But notice that in those biblical accounts where Jesus goes and sits with sinners, he's not going to sit with them as they're doing something immoral. So he doesn't go into the house of prostitution and just sort of sit there as the prostitutes ply their business. He doesn't go to, you know, any place where there are sinners and participate or at least be present and just sort of observe the bad things that they're doing. Those are never the situation with Jesus. What he does is he'll have a meal with them. He'll go to the home of a tax collector, the home of somebody who is a notorious sinner, but he's not there to observe or be present for something that they're doing that's wrong. And that's the distinction here.
Right. Okay. I get that. And can I make one more comment about this vaccine thing?
Yeah.
What really made me so against it was Dr. Fauci when he said, if you don't believe me and you disagree with me, you disagree with science. Like, he's the only person in the world that is a scientist, and you have to believe everything I say. And if you go against me, you're wrong. That's not how science works. I mean, there's plenty of scientists out there. He's not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow.
Yes, that is true. That actually kind of ties in with that other question, the gentleman who called earlier, the paramedic, who was expressing his disappointment in me. This, I think, is the issue, for me at least, and that is, well, all right, what about all the other scientists? There are any number of them who are reaching different conclusions. Are we only permitted to listen to scientists who agree with one view? Or is it in the best interest of everybody to evaluate to the extent that we can? I mean, I don't have the scientific or the medical credentials or knowledge to be able to evaluate it the way they could, but I can read and I can listen, you know,
yeah.
So what about all those people who are being silenced? Isn't it
you
worth
do not
our
know
time?
What you are talking about?
I love you, Patrick. Stay well, keep looking up, and keep up the good fight, brother.
Yes, sir. If you say so, I certainly will. I appreciate it, Norman. Thank you. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Gary in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Patrick. I had seen a cardiologist who was on a non-mainstream media outlet, and she described something that was very interesting to me about all those players that collapsed with the heart attacks on the field, that the way that they collapsed was very unusual of someone that would have a typical cardiac event.
Falling backward, like just keeling over backward?
Yeah, she explained that in all her expertise that most people will lean forward slightly or at least go for their chest or at least have some kind of forward motion. And she has seen many events this woman had described, and that always stuck with me, the way that they fell, almost like how a building implodes. And that's what raised red flags with this lady with the vaccine. And I thought that was really stuck in my mind. And I just wanted to throw that out there because I thought it was a valid point.
You know, I saw, Gary, and maybe you have too, but I saw recently a montage video of one after another, and these are, I believe, mainly athletes. So soccer players and football players and all of the above. And it's the same eerie thing that they just all of a sudden kind of freeze up and then they literally just fall backward.
Yeah.
They apparently have lost consciousness because they don't put their arms out or anything to try to break their fall. They just fall backward. And I can't remember seeing that happen. Maybe I missed it, but historically, I don't remember seeing athletes who are young and in the prime of their physical condition suddenly just freezing up and falling backward. That's new to me.
No, you misconstrued that, Senator, and you've done that repetitively in the past.
We got to revoke his key card. He gets in here.
But it is so true that I haven't seen one that leans forward and goes for the chest. And, you know, especially if they have a couple seconds before they collapse.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the football player for the Bills, I'm forgetting his name, but everybody knows his name, and we all saw that he tackled the guy who received the ball. He stood up, and he fell backward. It's just the strangest thing, and I don't want to make too much of that, but I don't remember seeing that kind of thing. And certainly we're seeing it constantly now, these young
healthy athletes. Well, now another thing that the doctor said, which is interesting, he says you're going to see a lot more of this within the next, like, 6 months, 8 months, because she explained that that's when it will show the effects, the ill effects, takes a little bit of time, takes months.
Well, so God forbid, and I hope that's not true. I really do. Let's all hope that that's not true, because we don't want to lose people. We don't want these people to lose.
I heard that caller, Robert, and I kind of felt empathy for him, because he felt like an articulate guy, well-meaning. But
The paramedic?
The paramedic.
Yeah, right.
And what saddens me is that people will base their conclusions on censored information. So it's not their own fault.
Yeah, I don't place blame. That's for sure.
No.
All I was reacting to was, I genuinely believe that if somebody's disappointed in me, at least for this issue, I think it's misplaced. How can it be disappointing to ask the question why? Why should that be a disappointment to anybody? I mean, if anything, I would be disappointed that we're not asking the question why. Go ahead. Yeah. I'll give you the last one.
And I believe that the drug companies censor what they tell their own inner people. That's what I believe. I believe they won't even tell their close people what the actual results are.
Well, I can't speak to that. I don't know, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to the Roman times. You know, not much has changed.
Well, that's an interesting perspective, Gary. I hadn't thought about it that way. Interesting. Thank you. Stay warm and well-fed. I am coming back with more of your phone calls on just about any topic you're interested in talking about. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. And some emails as well right after this.
Absolutely not. That would be impossible.